Well, hello, guys. Welcome to the show. As promised, it is Clay Novak and me, Elsa Kerr, and we have got a really great show for you. Say hi to everybody, Clay.
How's everybody doing?
All right. We are going to do our little intro music for you because you got to do that. And then we'll be right back after that. All right. So aren't we cool with our intro, our theme music, and our cool stuff?
Get your breath down.
Oh, how you been? I feel like it's been ages, but I guess it really hasn't been that long. Everybody got to see our debut show last week, and now we're in for the nitty gritty. I'm excited. How about you?
Got that initial, that premiere show with the two of us, which was fantastic. I got a lot of great messages, great feedback from everybody. They love it. And I'm having a good time. So absolutely happy to be back and doing this all the time with you.
Yay. We're going to have so much fun. So I mentioned in a previous video I did for everybody that I'm working on, or we're working on, a new recording platform. And so everybody is going to be so gracious and bear with me. There's so many fun little features and things on here. And thank goodness for Clay, because if I miss something, I know he's going to help me. So here we go. It's going to be
careful, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's such a burden lifter to be like, it's not all on me. I'm just going to throw Clay under the bus. Something goes wrong, I'll be like, oh, that Clay.
You always blame the new guy.
Exactly. Yeah, I like it. There was a method to my madness. Yeah. So speaking of madness, perusing all of the latest news and stuff and things, I'm sure you saw it too. There's been a buzz about COVID mandates. COVID. I can't believe I hate even saying the word. It makes me stutter. COVID mandates potentially coming back.
Yeah, it's and I've seen it, you know, in my life. People I know have gotten it, you know, some people for a second, third time. But I know that, like you said, in the news, it's been coming back. There's been some schools, I think down in Maryland, I think I read that they've started COVID, you know, mask mandating already. I just think the overwhelming response I've seen, everybody I've talked to, and you've probably seen the same thing, is everybody is so over it. They're just like the mask, the revolt against the mask is massive right now. Everybody, I won't say everybody because that's, you know, a little much, but the majority of people is they're just so against it. I'm not doing this again. Do not comply. It's all the same thing from everybody. I mean, are you hearing, you're hearing the same thing?
Same thing. Absolutely. And of course, I'm still seeing people walking around who never took off their mask. That's a whole different breed that I can't even allow myself to wrap my brain around these people. And you know, I'll be fair and say maybe some of them are severely immunocompromised and they believe wrongly that those masks are helping them. And, you know, I don't want to call them stupid. I don't think they're dumb people. I think they have been so cowered into submission via fear mongering. And it makes me really incredibly sad for them and us as a society, because we're so divided, you know, for many, many reasons, but that really being one of them. And that whole plandemic, wink, wink, was a big factor in that. And man, I'd say if that wasn't planned, it might as well have been, because what it did has been insane. And I 100% agree with you. I'm in the absolutely not. There is no way you can get me to muzzle up again. And
even if you go back and you replay all of it in your head, and it's the, you know, you have, everybody has to mask, everybody has to stay home. Everybody, you know, if you go to the hospital, you're going to get put on a ventilator, and then you have to get vaccinated, and then you have to get the booster, and then you have to keep the mask on. And if we do that, that's going to, you know, if you get vaccinated, then you can't give it to somebody else. And if you get vaccinated, then you can't get it from somebody else. And if you have a mask on, then you can't transmit it. And we put up all this plexiglass, and every single thing, step by step, turned out to be false. Every bit of it. If you got put on a ventilator in a hospital, unfortunately, you died. That was it. If you got, and you talk to anybody, and I've got friends who are doctors and nurses, anybody and everybody that got put on a vent, dead. That was it. It's shameful and it's horrible. And I feel so bad for anybody and everybody that had to go through that with a family member. But that was step one, the vaccinations. You can't give it to somebody. Oh, but by the way, you need a booster. And then if you have the second, you got to get a third booster, and then you'll never get it from. And now the latest version, of COVID that's coming out, they're now saying, if you're, and I've seen this in multiple places, if you are vaccinated, you are more likely to get the virus than people who are not vaccinated. How absurd is all of this? I mean, anybody with a rational brain with a memory should be able to go back and go, lie, 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 lie. I'm not doing it. Because it's just, it's bull. The whole thing is bull. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely insane. And you're right. I want to see now. So I'm playing with the new features here. I want to show everybody that overlay. Let's see. Yeah, it does come up. This was the one you were mentioning, Maryland schools. Just the sight of this makes my blood boil. These are just babies. They're just babies. And, you know, this is such a critical time in their socialization, development, and to be missing out on people's faces. Those kids that went through that, they're long-term affected. You know, we all are. We're long-term affected, not by COVID, by what they did in the name of COVID to all of us.
We're finally getting back to the point, especially with kids, right, where they've gotten, you know, reintegrated. They've started socializing again. They're learning, although delayed in a lot of cases, socializing normally, what we would consider normally. They're getting back to what we would consider pre-COVID normal. And we're going to do this to them all over again. We're going to do it to another generation of kids. And we're going to set them back a couple of years. It's insanity. It's absolute insanity.
I really, really hope that more people than before have woken up. I hate even to use the WOKE in any form anymore. but I mean, yeah, just very excited I was able to spell it. I mean, it's just I hope discernment and logic and reason overrule the mass. There's always going to be people that fall right in step and do what they're told, like good little minions. But I just hope that's fewer than before. And I think the pushback is definitely very noticeable. I don't know if it was Maryland. I'm not sure which one, but there, or if it was even one of the schools. I know somebody big tried to start implementing, and the pushback was like immediate and fierce. And they just kind of like, never mind. I don't know if it was a college or where it was, but if somebody knows, type it in the comments after, because now it's going to drive me crazy who and where it was. But it was an eyebrow raiser, because it's like, okay, we're not standing for it. Good.
Like you said, there's still people out there. I still see them. The person driving alone in their car with the windows up with a mask on. I'll never understand it. I'll never understand it. I just won't. It makes absolute no sense whatsoever, but you still see it. And we're going to see, like you said, there's going to be people that fall in line. They're not going to question. They're going to do what they're told. And they're just going to go along with whatever, the CDC or whoever else tells them to do. And it's crazy. It's beyond crazy.
Yeah. And Joe and Jill got their marching orders. Get those masks on. Jill supposedly, I'm not saying she didn't have it, but I don't know why I'm saying supposedly, because you can't believe anything that they say or do. But Jill had COVID. So Joe started masking up like a good little minion, except for when it was time to award the Medal of Honor to a guy who was also in his 80s, if not older. So he wears, did you see that? He wears his mask and until it's time to do that. And he takes the mask off. And so there's logic, right? That makes a whole heck of a lot of sense, doesn't it?
It's not selective, right? I mean, that's the key. It's not, if it's important enough to mask mandate or even recommend, then it's not a selective recommendation. It's not, you should wear it unless you're in a room full of people and it's a public appearance, and then it's okay to take it off. It's okay to do it unless you're giving, a very important speech and awarding the Medal of Honor to a Vietnam veteran, then it's okay to take it off. That's not how it works. So it's either important or it's not important. And clearly, as being displayed by the president, it is selective enforcement and therefore not important.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Now we have the clip of that too. And there's actually several things that we can talk about on that whole fiasco. So let's show that first. Yeah. So no mask when they're, pushing the masking. And then what is technically, in my opinion, worse, that he left the guy on the stage, just shook his hand, walked off. And of course, the White House puts, their spin on everything. And it was very clear. He just wandered off the stage. He shook his hand, wandered off. I mean, this to me... Add it to the list of Biden bumbles, right? I have to laugh because it makes me so angry.
The excuse or the explanation, I'm going to say excuse. I'm not even going to give him, the explanation, the out of an explanation was that he wanted to give that captain the stage, to give him the spotlight. You actually honor him more, revere him more, give him the stage more by standing there. And I hate, so essentially pulling yourself out saying, yes, I'm the president of the United States, but I'm going to stand here on the stage and I'm going to give it over to this guy. And I'm going to stand here with the rest of you in the audience in awe of this man and his bravery, and not the idea that, he wanted to give him the stage. So he just walked out and just wanted to make sure that it was about the captain. He didn't even stay for his speech, his words. It's incredible to me. One, you can't tell me that this was planned. No protocol officer, no protocol trained protocol individual, which the White House has an entire staff of protocol people, would allow this or plan for this to happen. I think as we continue to monitor the president and his actions, he literally just forgot what he was supposed to do and walked away. Just clueless to everything.
Oh, absolutely. This is just another example of the Bidenisms, the bumbling Biden, the lost elderly man wandering off. This is not the first time he's wandered off a stage awkwardly to everyone's discomfort. He was just in Vietnam and they just abruptly ended the conference. He's mid-sentence and apparently saying something they don't want him to say, or they're afraid he's about to veer off to, talking about dog face pony soldier boys again. Who knows, right? And it's just shocking. And the only thing that's more shocking to me is the people. And they're there. We talked about them last time, Clay. The people in the comments section still saying, you don't know what you're talking about. He's the best president we've ever had. And it's like, what is happening? What kind of, Kool-Aid are you drinking? Are they feeding you that you are ingesting and still seeing these things? How are you not seeing we're seeing them. Our news, I see it on the news. I see it everywhere. So it's hard for me to imagine how they're not seeing the same things that we're seeing, but apparently they're not.
That's all it is. It's like you said, it's the Kool-Aid, it's whatever. They're choosing to not believe it. They're choosing to ignore it. and you know, deciding that it's, or just deciding that it's not an issue. Oh, right. No, he's fine. It's mm-hmm. okay. It's just, it is what it is. And they're okay with it. And it's not, it's just not right. because we're watching the degradation mm-hmm. in front of our very eyes and yeah. it gets perpetually worse. It's, you know, it's, it's that, you know, exponential growth of how bad things are getting for mm-hmm. him mentally, mental capacity wise. It's crazy that people still refuse to acknowledge it. Like you said, it's baffling.
Yeah. And, you know, if he's not bumbling on stage somewhere or, you know, just making a mess of some speech or other, he's on vacation. He's either on vacation or embarrassing the entire country and really the whole world with his elderly dementia riddled behavior. And yes, that's speculation on my point, on my part. And I don't know if he has dementia, but my goodness, does it look like he does, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you were talking about him taking time and going on vacation, listen, I get it. It is the most stressful job on the planet. You take a look at any president. I don't care if it's a 4-year stint or an 8-year stint. You look at the pictures at their first inauguration and their last day in office. It ages you more than it should. It doesn't matter, you know, how old you are when it starts or when it ends. You need time off. Every president needs time off. That's why Camp David exists. That's why they all take time off, you know, and everybody was on President Trump for going out and golfing as often as he did. Mm-hmm. The math's been done. It has. President Biden has taken more vacation time than any president in the first, whatever it's been, 2 years of a presidency, more so than any of his predecessors. So,
yeah, I think we have it somewhere, and I think it's something like over 40% of his time has been spent on vacation. But, you know, I mean, the nice part is look, he looks so relaxed. He looks so peaceful and happy. Look at him laying out in the sun, getting a tan. He's getting his ice cream, riding his bike. He's not falling off it there.
I get it. You know, again, everybody needs a little bit of break, but that job is, it's nonstop. It's 24/7, 365 for as long as you're in office. Right. And you know, can you do it now from a lot of different places? Sure you can. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But when you're, like you said, he took the trip to Vietnam. When you're in Delaware at Rehoboth Beach, you're not traveling the world. You're not being a diplomat, you know, on behalf of the United States. You're not communicating with, you know, foreign dignitaries in person, right? You're mm-hmm. on vacation. You know, when you're licking ice cream cones, are you communicating with the American public? Sure you are, in a very, very small handful population.
Right.
Okay, fine. I'll capitulate that point. I'll give that one up. But you're not being the president. You're not in the White House. That schedule for any president is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And the more time you take off, the further behind you get. And he doesn't have the physical or mental stamina to catch back up again. Every vacation he takes, the farther he falls behind. Mm-hmm. So the question is, if he's not doing the work, who's doing the work?
Oh, yeah. Excellent question. Excellent question. And we had back to back to back, off the top of my head, and I'm sure there's more, it was like 3 major incidents that he was on vacation for. I mean, we had the Maui fires, which his response to that was delayed, to say the least. And then when he was asked point blank, what do you have to say about the Maui fires? What do you have to say to the people? And he said, no comment, and got in his limo and drove off. And you know, it's like, no comment. No comment. I mean, that alone. And then when he actually does get there, of him, you know, appearing, I won't say he was asleep, but appearing to be asleep at the victims or survivors dinner or luncheon or whatever it was. You know, so you have that. You have him on vacation again, being asked his thoughts on the Russian plane that went down. And he said something to the effect of, I worked out today. you know, and now, and the most recent, and I, again, I know there's more that I'm forgetting about. And the most recent, of course, is that he did not, he broke tradition and did not go to the site of 9/11 and delegated that one out and yep. went to Alaska. Alaska, you know, no offense to Alaska, but I mean,
from Vietnam, right? So, you know, taking out of context 9/11, right? This mm-hmm. trip, the stop in Alaska coming back from Vietnam, they take the polar route and they come up and across, makes perfect sense, but not in the context of 9/11, right? His travel planners, his trip planners, those that manage his schedule should have backwards planned this thing, figured out where 9/11's at on the calendar, and then moved the Vietnam thing. Or moved the Alaska thing or whatever. And I understand that he was on an Air Force base on 9/11, but for 21 years prior, right? Every year mm-hmm. since 9/11, the president has been either in Washington, D.C., right? At the White House or at one of the sites, whether it's Flight 93 in here in Pennsylvania or if it's Ground Zero or if it's the Pentagon or whatever. They've been somewhere, one of the sites on 9/11. He is nowhere near any of those. Right. He is literally on the other side of the country. And it obviously it didn't go unnoticed. You know, everybody saw it. And it, you know, you talk about his speeches. He opened up his speech. I don't know if you saw this in Alaska. I think it's the governor of Alaska who was an all-American. You know, the guy is also from Scranton, PA, which, you know, the president loves to claim that he's from, you know, he grew up in Scranton. Not that he didn't, but he loves to, you know, claim Scranton as his home. You know, and he made a joke opening up his speech on 9/11. He opened it up with a joke talking about if he had been at Scranton at the same time as the, you know, this Alaska politician, that he would have been an All-American too. Totally off color, totally the wrong time, zero somber. It was ridiculous. It was so disrespectful to everything in and around 9/11, the families that still exist, that lost family members on that day, and everybody who's fought and lost since then was ridiculous. It was shameful, truthfully.
Yeah, he's consistently tone deaf, and the left will say, oh, that's just Joe being Joe. And
don't care.
They don't care. They are totally cool with all of it. And they will make excuses and justifications for every single really, truly disgusting offense that this man does to this country and the people in it. And, you know, I have a video here and I want to share it with you. And it's kind of backtracking a little bit. I want to do two things quickly. I want to give Captain Larry Taylor the recognition that he so deserves. God bless that man. I don't know why it was so delayed in him getting the Medal of Honor, but his story is truly incredible. We're going to put it in the show notes so you can see it for yourself if you haven't already, but God bless him and his service. And, you know, watching him wipe a tear from his eyes, what a moment for him. In his life. And it just angers me to no end that he was robbed a little bit of the glory of that moment as for as full as it should have been for him. So we thank him from the bottom of our hearts for his service. And this is not the first time that he has been so disrespectful to a member of our military. I have a video here and we're going to show it. And I want to forewarn you guys, there's some F-bombs here. There's some swearing here. So if you're sensitive, if you're in a room with children, you might want to either turn it down or save it for later. But you've been warned. But this is, I think this really speaks to how a lot of us feel. So here it is.
Yeah, I want to fucking meet the president. Who doesn't want to meet the fucking president? And he's like looking at me like, what the fuck? When is he going to be here? And like, he's going to be here in about an hour. 1 hour goes by, nothing. 2 hours goes by, nothing. And I'm still, I keep coming in like, do you want, you know, it's time for your meds. You want your meds? I'm like, nope, hold them. And my mom's furious. She's like, okay, like the Secret Service are coming into the floor. And I'm just like looking at this dude. And he like pats down my mom, pats down my buddy. And he's like over there. And I'm like, mom, like what? And she's nervous, you know? And I'm like, is that the president? Everyone in the room starts laughing. And the Secret Service agent starts laughing and he like pulls on his mask and he's like, no, he's like, but I work for him. I was like, oh my God, who's the fucking president? And just so much had happened, just had so much trauma on me. I had no idea who the president was. Who's the fucking president? And she was like, it's like, sweetheart, it's like, it's Joe Biden. I just leaned back and I was like, oh my God. Secret Service dude just like beat red, like trying not to laugh. Jill Biden, their little entourage of people and like photographer right away. Like, remember him coming up to me trying to shake my hand and I look at him. I don't have an arm and my left arm is in this big ass cast, completely immobile. All I can do is move my head. My arm's gone. And he says, oh, and like kind of stands up and then like goes over to reach for my fingers because about an inch of my fingers are showing and just like grabs my fingers. Doesn't greet me or anything. Just almost immediately starts talking about how their son served in the military. Doesn't say anything about what happened. My mom said this. She's like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. I mean, this guy is, he's a hero. He's a veteran. He's just been so traumatized and has a lifetime really of adapting to this. And the president of the United States comes in and with this nonsense and late, what do you say? Like 2 hours late or something.
Yeah.
You know, and again, sure, I can play the devil's advocate and say, well, you know, I mean, he is the president. He's busy. He's got places to be and places to go. And he's not always in charge of his. But come on, this is when it's one thing, you can say that. When it's time after time after time, incident after incident, it's just offensive, you know, to say the least.
Listen, Elsa, I was the aide de camp for a 3-star general. I have been, you know, what you would classify as a handler. I don't like to say that because my boss, who is a great guy, retired as a 4-star, Dave Rodriguez, didn't need handling. I didn't need to handle him. You know, guys like that, they have a lot on their mind. They have a lot on their plate. There's a lot of information to process. So you help them out, right? So in this case, you know, if this was me and I was walking with President Biden and I was his guy, I was his handler, you know, I would have known, had a list of who was in the ward, what their injuries were, how long they had been there, all of that stuff. And as you approach the bed, you kind of lean into the boss's ear and go, hey, sir, you know, this guy's an IED victim, lost his right arm, lost, you know, is immobile. He can only move his head and he can speak. Right. And you kind of lean in and you tell him that. Sure. And then he knows as he walks up, and you kind of do that as you move bed to bed. There's certain things that they do or should do that one, nobody is doing. But there's also, again, like my boss wouldn't need something like that. He would he had enough grace and really such a presence about him that he would stand there. He would take a look at things, you know, and really assess the situation before he did something like the president did to this, you know, poor young service member, you know, who's laying, he's just laying there. He's subject to the room. Right. And then, you know, like he said, the president just started talking because that's what he does.
Right.
He
does, yeah.
He communicates to make sure that everybody knows who he is and what has happened in his life. You talked about the fires, you know, he tried to relate himself to the people in Hawaii by saying he had a fire that almost burned his house down. They lost literally, you know, hundreds of homes burned. You know, I had a fire in my kitchen one time not long ago. You know, same thing. I know you lost your arm and you almost died, but my son was in the military. It's crazy how really borderline narcissistic it is.
Yes.
It's nuts. Absolutely crazy.
It really is. But, you know, but then we get to the, you know, then the conversation can turn pretty easily. Like we can go from this to, where is it? Let me make sure I got the right one. All right. Let's see. We can go from this to this. I mean, these are our options right now. So I don't know. Maybe that's why they're bolstering him up so much. That they don't want to see Cammy in charge. And
well,
I don't know. Do any of us?
She's prepping for it now. You saw the quote. I saw the quote. We talked about this, right? You know, her prepping to take over if she has to. Now, listen, every vice president has to do that. Right. Doesn't matter who you are. It's part of the job. You have to be prepared to step in to take over for any number of reasons, right? You've got the extreme situation, the JFK to J. Johnson thing. You've got that. Mm-hmm. You've got the Gerald right. Ford, Richard Nixon thing, right? That's a different, right? That's a whole different right. stepping in. But we've had presidents who've had heart attacks. We've had presidents who've become ill, you know, that have become incapacitated for short periods of time. And the vice mm-hmm. president always has to be prepared to, you know, step in. I would tell you that there has been no reaction to that statement of I'm preparing myself to be in charge like there was when Kamala Harris said it. The reaction's never been like that.
Right. And from all sides, it's not just the right saying it, you know, no one wants to see that happen. As much as I like to, portray her, impersonate her, I don't know if she even wants that. You know, a part of me thinks that she does, and part of me thinks that she's like, oh, hell no. But I'm going to, you know, this is a little narcissistic of me, but I'm going to show you a video now. So let me preface it by saying that the words, what she is saying in this is the actual words. It's pretty much verbatim, but I wanted to add my own little spin to it as to what she might have been thinking as she did that interview where she, like you just said, where she mentioned that she is prepared. So here it is.
Do you feel prepared for that possibility? As serving as vice president prepared you for that job?
Yes. As in hell yes.
And how would you know, describe that process?
Well, first of all, I'm answering your hypothetical.
More like inevitable.
Joe Biden's going to be fine.
Fine for a corpse.
So that is not going to come to fruition.
JK, it's totally going to happen.
But let us also understand that every vice president, understands that when they take the oath, that they must be very clear about the responsibility they may have to take over the job of being president. I am no different,
except in the fact that I am going to be the next president of the United States.
Okay, the cackle hurts my own ears, so I apologize, guys. That it really does make my ears bleed. But that was the actual, you know, transcript of what she said. 100%. I just added in my own little thoughts there.
It is frightening. And I think she is petrified. I think she knows she's already outkicked her coverage. She is already, you know, above her level. She can't do the job she's in, and she certainly can't level up to the next one. I know that she would enjoy the spotlight, but I think she's terrified of actually having to be the president. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I can't, just her track history here, just everything that she's done or rather not done, over the course of her term here. She's not prepared. She's not ready. She does not have people in her corner. So even if she wanted to do all the right things, I don't think anyone is in her corner. They just want her to sit down and shut up. And you know, based on what we've seen, she probably should.
Yes.
Probably would be the best thing to happen. But it's just scary to me, Clay. Like, this is what we have going on. And you know, we're not done yet. And we don't know what's going to happen in 2024. And we're in for scare. I think we're just, you know, a continuation of scary times. I don't think we're necessarily in for scary times. We're in it. I'm just afraid of a continuation of that.
That the plan, for the most part, has been for him to serve for 3 years and then step down, have a sudden health issue, whatever. She steps in and then she gets 8 more years on top of that, right? So she comes in, she gets the last year or so and that of his administration, and then runs for re-election as president and gets another 8 years. You know, I think that was the plan from the beginning. But I think that she has completely underperformed, and I think that entire plan is shot. So I think that, you know, there's probably a new plan coming. You and I talked about this on the last show.
Yeah.
I think there's a new plan coming. I heard speculation about Michelle Obama the other day.
Yes, I heard that. I've heard ripples of it.
Yep. In the next couple of weeks, that announcement's supposed to come, I heard. You know, which I think the last time we had a former first lady run for president, I'm not a Hillary fan, never was, but she had at least a little bit more, you know, in the chops of, you know, she did the governor thing, the senator thing, and then she did the, you know, she was Secretary of State, and she at least had a little bit more in her kit bag than Michelle Obama, who did truthfully nothing political, you know, outside of being the first lady. So that's pretty scary.
But we know how they vote. We know how the left votes. They don't care about they don't care about any of that. That doesn't matter to them. They just, you know, she checks the boxes. She's female. She's black. She's not Trump. Because that's actually, I should have put that first. That's actually first.
Anyone
and anything that is not Trump. So they really could put just about, that's the actual truth here. They could put, for as long as Trump is in the running, in the picture, if they can't make him go away, despite all of their efforts, you know, then it will be a continuation of never Trump. It'll be anything, anyone but him. So really won't matter too much who they put forward, I don't think, because they'll just vote, you know, they'll just vote for whoever they put forward just on those merits. And, you know, I don't know what will happen. It's going to be scary no matter what.
You know, on both sides, we talked about this last show too, is just, you know, who ends up coming out with the Republican ticket, whether it's for President Trump or whoever he endorses. I still say whoever he endorses, if it's not him, is the one who gets the nomination based on his base. And then obviously whoever comes out on the Democratic ticket, which I think by the day becomes more and more up in the air. You know, it used to be a no-brainer. The sitting president incumbent was the go-to that was going to happen. But I think on the daily, it becomes less and less clear who's going to be on the Democratic ticket.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've got, you know, it's on one hand, it feels like we've got a long way to go. And on the other hand, it feels like it's going to be creeping up on us really, really fast.
Yep.
Yeah. I think it's going to come up very quickly. There's still so much that can happen between now and then. And I promise you guys, we'll be on top of it. We'll be watching be talking about it.
Every week. Yeah.
Every week, at least for a little bit. But we're going to talk about other stuff too next week. I'm not sure. I like winging it. We'll figure it out. We'll know and let you know when we know what we're talking about next week. We've got guests coming up on the show, all kinds of fun things. And as always, we would absolutely love for you guys to comment too. We want to hear what you have to say. Give us your thoughts. Throw them in the comments section. Send us a message, anything you want. We'd love to hear from you. Good, bad, or indifferent. I'm just kidding about the bad. We don't want to hear which bad things you have to say. None of it. I'm not going to listen. Just kidding. But we appreciate you guys watching and hanging out with us. And we look forward to bringing you guys more content, next week, more interviews. Clay's going to be doing some interviews too. And I get to sit back and just kind of, you know, put my hands back and relax. Looking forward to that.
Listen, when we're comparing, like, people are obviously going to want to see you much more than they're going to want to see me. There's no question.
I appreciate that. All right, Clay, anything last words you want to tell them?
No, I just, you know, thanks. This is awesome. I love doing this. I think that this was a great show. We hit on a lot of good stuff. Can't wait for the next one. You know, keep moving, keep shooting. The book's still out there. Check it out.
Yes, I love it. Absolutely. All right, my friends, it was great hanging out with you. We will see you all in the next episode. Take care.